let's go over to Matthew. The principle about keeping it to yourselves is very important. But this is also what's taught to us as Christians. There's a solution that we're supposed to follow anytime an offense takes place. But what's the best way to deal with an offense?
Don't get offended.
Exactly. Be unoffendable. It takes two to fight. If one of them won't, then what's the other one going to do?
Go find somebody else
to fight. Pretty much. However, not every issue can be just ignored. There hurts. Well, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a giant lie, isn't it? If you want something to hurt somebody with, words is number one at the top of the list. You know, they say the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, that's because words can do more harm than a weapon. It's just that way. The Lord has a solution, and this solution fits so many different places. We're going to read it, and I want you to think about some of the places, some of the situations where this fits. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 18. I want to go back to read a little before that, because it says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee. In other words, in addition to what I just told you. So let's go back and see what he told us. He says in verse number 9, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes being cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Is he talking about sheep?
No.
No. He's talking about us. He's talking about his children. And then he says, and this applies to the children, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, that's what Proverbs just told us about the neighbor. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. He says, if he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And then, speaking to the church directly, he says, verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thus, again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Where two or three, and it's talking about the church in every instance here, are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. By the way, let me point out to you that this conversation is recorded for us, and the event of its telling and its teaching was about 3 years before the day of Pentecost. This is a different subject. But you're told by most of the study notes in most of the modern Bibles that the church didn't start until the day of Pentecost. Well, I'm here to remind you that the Lord is talking about the church and giving instruction that things are to be addressed before the church about 3 years, somewhere near 3 years before the day of Pentecost. So, little side note lesson today is you need to understand that the church started a minimum of 3 years before the day of Pentecost. The Bible says, and the Lord sets, God sets some in the church first apostles. But you go to Luke chapter 6, I think, and the Lord will tell you exactly when the church was started and when he appointed the apostles, which made up the first membership of the church, the very first church. So the idea that that didn't happen until later, after Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven, that the church didn't start till after that is simply false. It's not true. The church is in existence now. You think the Lord's going to tell you to take something to the church if the church doesn't exist? Doesn't make any sense, does it? There's a lot more evidence than just this passage, by the way. So, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Do brothers trespass against each other?
Yeah.
Pretty serious stuff, isn't it, sometimes? Or is it just always minor things?
Be pretty serious sometimes.
Sometimes it could get really serious. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Then he tells you, if he neglects to hear them, then take it to the church. Give me a for instance that this happens. Let's, instead of just making these words on a page, let's talk about situations maybe you've been involved in, or potential situations that have been avoided, perhaps, where this needfully is applied. Anybody give an example? No?
I could give you one, but I don't want to talk about it.
I could give you some I don't want to talk about, too.
A youth pastor does something wrong with the kids, and they tell the parents, and the parents want to go to the pastor.
Yeah.
And instead of going to the brother.
Go to the brother.
Get a church split.
Yeah. Yep, well, that happens, and it's happened here. And it's important. How about at home? How about in a marriage? Are you married to your brothers, Clarissa?
I mean...
Is James your brother?
In Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what this is talking
about. Actually.
That's what this is talking about. It's talking about your brother in Christ, specifically.
He's my brother in Christ, and he's my spiritual father. So if I go, like, have an issue with James, and I go, like, want to talk to my girlfriends and talk crap about him to them, and or talk crap about him to my family, and my family hates him, you know, and we resolve our issues, but the family doesn't ever forget, you know.
That's a good example. You wouldn't want to air your dirty laundry within your family unit to everybody and anybody. Well, you don't want to ever air disagreements with anybody except who the disagreement is with. Now, sometimes that might not work.
Sometimes you seek godly counsel, though. I mean, if your intentions are to get godly counsel from someone who has a successful marriage, then is that the same, or is that?
It could be a step that's in there. Would you like to know the situation that the questions always come up in about this issue? What if he wants me to do something that is sin? Do I rebel? Do I say, no way?
Tell him I give my life to Jesus, I cannot do that.
You're supposed to obey, right?
But it doesn't say obey unless you
don't
think
obey
that
if there's something wrong.
What if it's something really outlandish, outrageous, serious, and something that no Christian woman should ever do?
Well,
is it different?
Well, then you go to him and you ask him or talk to him about your convictions. And then if he won't hear you, then you take two or three. And then if that doesn't work, then you bring it to the church.
Well, take one or two.
Oh, sorry. One or two. Two or three.
Two or three?
Better, right?
Otherwise, she's saying James is going to require more than one or two. Two or three. Why the two or three?
One or two.
Witnesses.
Well, let's see. Okay. Let's say that you have a problem with James.
We don't have problems currently.
Currently, she said.
Currently. And so you can't seem to get him to listen to you, and you want to take two or three. So, what, you want to get a couple of your girlfriends to go with you?
No, someone that is an authority or an authority figure, I think. Like someone.
It doesn't say which two or three, but what makes the sense about it, Keith?
Someone more elder or someone that's spiritually
sound.
Sound.
And knows the word.
And knows the word.
All right.
And what do you tell those two or three?
How much do you tell them? As little as possible, probably.
Well, it says take them with thee. In other words, it's not talking about just telling them. I got it. It's not talking about just telling them. It's talking about taking the witnesses to the problem, whether it be the husband or whether it be between two other Christians, two ladies, two guys, whoever. It says, take them with thee, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. What he says is his position, and what she says is her position.
Yeah, and I found that to not go the way it should really go, right? Okay. In some instances.
It doesn't always go the way it should go.
I'm talking about the witnesses. They already know more. They've already got an opinion, right?
That's the witnesses need to be pretty well chosen, let's put it that way. Sherry, go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. You really don't want to take just your friends, because they're only going to listen to your side, even no matter what he's saying. And they're going to have that opinion on your side. Whereas if you take elders from the church or somebody that is biblical, they're going to see the biblical side and work it through for both of you.
You need to take someone, number one, who knows what God's word says about the situation. And number two, somebody that can be objective.
Yep. Yeah, to both sides, yes.
If you're taking somebody that's especially close to you, who it is, they're not going to be able to be very objective about the situation. Because one of the things you're going to find when an offense or something like this occurs, you're going to find that there are genuine truths, let's say, represented from both sides. It's not always going to be one-sided. It's not always going to be he's wrong and she's right. There's going to be some of both. I have never seen a situation. I've been pastoring a long time, and I've counseled people that are at odds many times. And I have never seen a situation where it was just totally on one side. There's issues both ways.
I know my kids have gotten upset at me because I've told them straight up, well, you're wrong this time. It's not them. They're like,
well,
you're my mom. I said, but the truth is the truth.
This situation with the witnesses is talking about where a situation has come to a dead end, an impasse. Can't get past it. You know, just not willing to deal with it. As far as the issue, by the way, of a man demanding of his wife that she does something or participates in something ungodly, I've never seen it go past the witnesses. If you were telling your wife to do something that was obviously sinful and wrong, you think you're going to want to stand before the church and have to defend that?
Probably not.
Hopefully he's a Christian.
Well, if thy brother, it's talking about your brother. Now, when they're not your brother.
Yeah, married.
Not supposed to be unequally yoked.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
And sometimes after the marriage.
That's true.
So there's not a catch-all for every problem here.
And what about business dealings between two men in the world of business?
They're mostly.
Doesn't that happen quite frequently?
It does. Paul, the apostle, had to deal with that with church members in Corinth, remember? And he told them, he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for going to the law to deal with your brother. Is not the church able to judge between the two of you? That's a good question. But most of these issues are going to happen out there in the world. It's going to be somebody that's going to... Anybody here ever been sued? Y'all are nodding, but not wanting to raise your hand. That's one of those Mark didn't want to talk about.
Somebody tried to one time, but didn't go very far.
Well, It could go a long ways. And I'll promise you, and I can tell you from experience, when you do get to the courtroom, you know, what does the Bible say about that? It says, settle it between him and you before you get there. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get there, it's not going to be like you thought. Verse 10, Proverbs. Let me read verse 9 and 10 together. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Let me tell you something. When the guy's lawyer on the other side gets through with you, you're not going to look so pretty and white and pure and clean anymore. And they don't mind lying to do it. They're really, yeah, it makes no difference. It's like every rule of righteousness and that's good is thrown out completely when you get in the courtroom. It is that way. I'm not kidding you about that. You think, well, if I go to court, this is America, so if I go to court, I'm going to get justice. Don't bet the farm on that. Joshua, go ahead.
Same instance. My dad was driving a semi. Guy comes out from the shoulder of the road, turns out in front of him. Dad barely misses him, saves that guy's life by yanking the steering wheel. Hits the trailer, kills the horse. Guy sues my dad for killing the horse. Their fists go to court, and then, you know, of course, my dad thinks the same thing. This is an easy situation. The lawyer said, well, they could win. So dad ended up settling. Ended up buying the guy a new Suburban over. But, yeah, something like that where it's plain Jane, even the lawyer says, no, they can win.
You know, the one I had, when I was in mosquito control, we were washing the plane, and I was underneath, and all somebody poured all that water, I mean, all that soap came down, and that airplane soap burns and went in my nose and my mouth. I'm getting that drunk. I have to wipe my hand on my pants above my knees. This lady, who was farther away from me than you are from me now, said she was offended and was going to sue me for sexual harassment over that. But the thing is, when we were in the break room, well, she was in the break room, I was at the drinking fountain, and she didn't know I was out there, and I just listened to her talk to her lawyer and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sue for $100 million, hope to set out court for $70,000 or $80,000. Well, it's easier than picking six numbers. In other words, she wanted to win the lottery. And then the next night, she was, we were digging the trench, and every place I'd throw dirt, she had her foot there the next time. She wanted me to say I had to do something again. But I just looked the other way and made sure I threw the dirt somewhere else. And I told my next-door neighbor, who was the boss, he got her out of there. He said, you stay over in Bolivar, you ain't coming over here causing trouble. And nothing ever happened, praise God.
Well, the point is, settle it early and settle it between the two of you without bringing a bunch of people into it, unless you have to. And then that's those cases are there. Worst case scenario, what if he asked me to do whatever? The worst case scenario is that when it comes to the church, if it ever does finally get there, and probably never going to happen, I've been pastoring for, I can't even remember how long. Long time. Yeah, at least that. I have never seen it go past a discussion with a couple of mature Christian people. And because there's nobody going to stand in public and argue what he knows is wrong, sinful, whatever, that's his right in front of the church. And even if he did, the church is going to pass a judgment on it. And the rule is to the church what Jesus said, whatsoever you shall bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. So no, ladies, you're not going to be forced to do something ungodly that's because your husband says to and God says you have to obey him. You can obey him and still be rescued from a situation like that.
No robbing banks.
Because God, no robbing banks. It's just God's word protects us his children from virtually every situation, and it's there. It's there to be followed. When we take it into our own hands, ladies, guys, instead of doing what God told us to do in his word, Well, ask somebody who's doing that and see how that's working for them, because it doesn't work. But it will work if we'll follow God's word. And that's the one place where godly counsel is going to come in.
You need to forgive them, God won't forgive you.
Yeah, well, that's true. You need to be able to sit down with somebody who knows the word and can show you what the Bible really does say and how it really does apply. And get it fixed. You could just let it fester and go on and go on. That's not a good thing either. Now, verse 11, we're going to move on from this. Verse 11 talks about the... Have you ever seen a picture of a silver platter with gold apples sitting on it? You ever seen a picture like that? Well, it's from verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And one of the things that I learned when I studied this is that the apples may be oranges. Seriously, the word used for that is use of, you know, fruit of citrus trees and any other fruit tree. It's a generalized term, so it might be an orange. I don't know. But it's a beautiful picture, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, that's what a word fitly spoken. And why does God put this next to the verses on don't strive with your neighbor, but go deal with it one-on-one and talk about it?
Because words matter.
Well, words matter. And when you go to the neighbor to talk about it, you don't go just to accuse him. You go with words fitly spoken. What's that mean? How would that apply?
Appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate. Not confrontational, not spoken in anger.
Not attacking their character.
I had this happen recently with my mom because she was attacking me, and praise the Lord, somehow he gave me the words to say back to her, which were from, you know, from his word, and she was not able to keep the fight going.
Yeah.
So it works.
The Lord is comparing right words, fitly spoken. Words fitly spoken are, you can't even describe how important they are. Doctrine, sermons. You don't just go up there with a skeleton outline and just say whatever comes to your mind. I don't care how good of a preacher you think you are or teacher you think you are, it's going to go south on you if you do that. You figure out what you're going to say, how it should be said, say it well, and then shut up. Keith, that's how you do
that's
it.
That's the hard part, shutting up.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it is. Yeah, you tend to go on and on and on. And I know you're talking about when I step down on the floor after the sermon's over.
Well, that's not what I was talking about.
But it is true. It is true.
Didn't it say a soft answer turns away wrath?
Exactly.
I'm 15, I think it is. And I know one time I was in mosquito control and I was spraying, and this guy came up there all kinds of delirium. You were making me sick and all this. I said, tell you what, do me a favor. Here's the number. Call and tell them, don't spray in this area, and you won't have a problem. He said,
yeah.
Okay, thanks.
We got one more addition to this. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Have you ever been wisely reproved? Have you ever sat in church and been reproved?
Sure.
By God's word?
Yeah.
Sometimes God's word gets offensive and is taken in an offensive way. Sometimes God's word could be spoken more tactfully and with less confrontation, and it come across better. Young preachers don't figure they've done a good job unless they hurt somebody's feelings. I mean, you know, you got to slam on the pulpit a couple of times. And But I'll tell you from experience, it's not possible to preach the whole counsel of God's word and not offend somebody. However, I sure don't want to offend anyone unnecessarily. Sometimes you have to face where you are before you can get over it. It just doesn't just go away by itself.
And the process of learning to not be offended is something every Christian has to go through.
Yeah, exactly. So a wise reprover is... those are way too scarce, are they not? Way too scarce. We're going to talk about how good it is to harvest during time of snow next week. We'll see what that's really talking about. We're out of time.